I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, it's the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. And what a preview we have for you. Lopetegui, Conte, Tuchel, Flick. It's Friday the 21st of August. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brattle.
And of course, Brassel Mason in Luke's game.
Yes. Yes. Should we throw to that? Should we do a little preview? I asked our listeners on a Twitter poll this morning.
Oh, God.
I said it's Andy Brassel versus Kate Mason in today's Luke's game. And I gave them two options in the poll, upset or bloodbath. And so far they voted, double check. So far they voted 86% bloodbath. So that's what you're up against, Kate.
Yeah, I know what I'm up against, mate.
Did you notice as well, in the intro,
yes.
Normally I have quite difficulty saying my own name.
Yeah.
But I used my mastermind tone of voice.
Okay. Give us another repeat of that.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
I think Luke there showed the ruthlessness for which he is famed when he managed to take almost 5 seconds to say three syllables.
It's all calm down. It's all about timing, as Teddy Sheringham would say. Just all calm down.
Is that a hint? Is Sheringham on there?
I can neither confirm or deny.
Yes, come on! Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, goodness me. Upping the ante already more.
Yeah. Look forward to it. Stick around till the end and you'll hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is proper radio. I like it.
Yeah. There we
Little
go.
Tease. Nice. All right. Let's get on with that previewing that I've promised you.
Yeah.
That there's going to be some absolute European delights. And that's why we've got our own European delight, Andy Brassel, in here with us. Sevilla against Inter Milan in the Europa League final. The first major European final. Okay, for Julian Lopetegui, but also for Antonio Conte as a manager.
As a manager, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which I was pretty surprised to think of.
Well, that's why it feels like such a big deal for him, I think, because if there's one thing you can poke a hole in terms of his coaching record, it's that he's never got beyond one quarter final in the Champions League.
Mm.
Of course, this isn't the Champions League, but once you get, I think, to the last eight of the Europa League, it does feel Champions League-y. There's no doubt about that. I mean, that's the extraordinary thing about the Europa League. It has this bad rap because, I think mainly because of the group stage. I mean, people talk about it being horrendously long.
Mm.
It's got one more round than the Champions League. It feels longer because the gap between the haves and the have-nots in the group stage is far more pronounced in the Europa League than it is in the Champions League. I mean, we talked about this on here before. I think I was saying to Marcus that the point this season where you knew Arsenal were in real trouble was when they didn't win all six games in the group.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really felt that vibe. I covered Arsenal in the Europa League and, you know, you felt it slipping away from Emery on those nights. And I remember when he was fired, which was the day after they lost at home to Eintracht Frankfurt. You remember the one where Eintracht Frankfurt came from behind? They had no fans technically, but some of their fans had gone into the club shop, bought Arsenal scarves and hats.
Cute. Yeah.
And ended up in the home end. And some of them had hired an executive box and actually started singing some songs when they went 2-1 up.
That's really putting your money where your mouth is, isn't it? Bloody hell, those executive boxes.
It really is, isn't it? And I remember seeing Emery walked through, because I was doing some interviews to TV afterwards, and there are these little TV cabins in the basement just off the where the tunnel is when you're the players, when you come back in at the Emirates. And you just stand there and wait for your guy to turn up, whether it's a player or a coach or whatever. And Emery was being like dutifully taken through his various interviews. And it was this... Is this a grisly walk of shame? You know, the press people who are taking him along know he's about to get fired. He knows he's about to get fired. But of course, and like a lot of people poke fun at his communication and all the rest of it, he's an unfailingly polite man. So at a time like that, you're feeling, shit, he doesn't deserve this. Mm. Like, obviously, there are a lot of Arsenal fans who go, well, he's put me through a load of misery and I paid a load of money, et cetera, et cetera. But it was something that was hard. And, you know, I think that shows how little margin for error there is in this competition, despite the fact that it's genuinely derided. And it's the same in another way once you get to the end of it. I know people will look at this, and we'll come to the Conte bit in a minute. They'll look at Sevilla and go, well, it's Sevilla's competition, et cetera, et cetera. Won 5 of the last 15 editions. I think it's worth saying, just at the top, 9 new starters this season. Mm. 9 new starters. I mean, that is incredible turnover. And, you know, I think obviously some of it's projection, the fact that it's clear that the club are very firm on the fact that it's something that's really important for them. Ideally, for them, they would not still be in the Champions League. They've sort of been on that in the Europa League, because they've been on that Champions League, Europa League cusp for quite a long while. And they want to be in the Champions League regularly. That's what's going to help them get to the next level.
Well, though, at least in the Europa League, you don't get any kind of embarrassing 8-2 final batterings like you do. Although there was a 5-0, fair enough, 5-0 in the semis.
That definitely wouldn't have happened to Sevilla against Bayern. Not 9 new starters or not.
Sevilla have probably had a harder run to the final as well, right? You would say. So, yeah, although Inter were really impressive in that Shakhtar semi, which did flatter Inter a little bit.
Yeah, a lot, I think.
Sevilla had a tougher run, though.
They had 38% possession in that.
And it's efficiency, isn't it?
This is really where Inter are. You don't hire Conte for the beauty, do you? But he's got those high-impact players at the top. You look at the partnership between Lukaku and Lautaro, and I know there's been so much focus on Lukaku, and rightly so. I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant this season. But it is about the click with Lautaro. And in that game against Shakhtar, it was the first time in a while that it feels like they've re-clicked after Lautaro's had that little dip. But I don't know what to think about Sevilla, really, because in those games against Wolves and United, they definitely deserve to win the Wolves game. I don't think they deserve to win the United game.
Despite the circumstances in which they won it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they lived...
I'm talking about the Wolves game, yeah?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think they lived certain moments of both of those games on the seat of their pants. And I think it's quite interesting. Like, when you look at Diego Carlos, who has been, hands down, the best defender in La Liga this season. And I include Sergio Ramos in that. And I know Sergio Ramos is more than the defender, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But... Diego Carlos was the guy who gave away both of those penalties with big lungy challenges with guys that are running at him. If you're Lukaku, I think you're looking at that, rubbing your hands a little bit, thinking, what can I do with this guy?
Yeah, and I think Diego Carlos had quite an interesting run to his. I mean, had quite an interesting path to where he is now, hasn't he? His career.
Yes.
He's like 27 now. He's emerged into people's consciousness, perhaps because
of the way the football season is at the moment, and the way that European football has been separated out from domestic football, so people pay more attention to it. Also, he's featured in a couple of games against English teams, so people in this country would have taken more notice of it. But he's gone the scenic route to where he is now, and I'm really pleased for him. He's the kind of player that you'd be really pleased for him to lift a European trophy. But flipping over to the Inter side of the ledger, though, you guys, one thing's really interesting to me is that the two things that dog Antonio Conte as part of a reputation are, one, that he always wins things in his first season, and two, that he can't really do it on the European stage as a manager. Well, one of those things is still going to be true after this game, and it'll be interesting to know which one it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Which one do you think it will be?
I think Sevilla can get there. They've shown over the last couple of games that they can win without playing brilliantly. Mm-hmm. And they are on this incredible run, 20 games without defeat, which is amazing. And they've done it mainly off the back of having a really great defence. If there's one thing you would say that Inter have that Sevilla really lack, apart from a massive pile of cash, obviously, is the fact that they've got a reference point centre forward, and that's the thing that Sevilla don't really have. I'm interested to see the sort of nick that Lucas Campos arrives in the final on, because obviously he was forced off against United, and he doesn't go off easily. The guy is an absolute warrior, so I think that's,
he's listed as fit, isn't he?
That's quite important.
I think he is.
Yeah, but how fit is he really? That's the question. I mean, there's no way he's not playing.
Andy, you're a European expert. As much as you say that you don't enjoy that reputation, I know privately and personally you very much enjoy that reputation.
Why does he put it on his business card?
I know,
if
exactly,
he doesn't like it.
Why does he have a business card?
I don't know. Exactly. It's not really the thing in this industry. But Brussels, European.
They are free at service stations. Yeah. And also, that's the bottom line.
Why is his why are his business cards designed like the tongue of a classic football boot? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, for people who don't know,
the only reason to sign for the Ramble.
Yeah, exactly. There's two questions I want to ask you. One is, the first one is, do you think a lot of this depends on how sort of players like Gagliardini and Brozovic deal with Banega? And secondly, for people who don't know anything about European football, i.e. someone like me, what is there to look out for tonight? What should people be kind of focusing their attention on? What should they be getting excited about?
I think the Banega thing's interesting, because where Manchester United, I think, got the upper hand in that game, people talk about how they created chances. How did they create those chances? They sat on Banega for the middle bit of the game.
Yeah.
They didn't give him any time on the ball, and they just leapt on him, whether it was Rashford or one of the
midfielders. Dig about his webcam action as well, maybe? Little word in his ear about what he's been caught out doing in the past? Get under his skin?
You'd hope so.
Kate, you want to get on board with that?
Not really.
there's so many things about Evan Banega, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's a reason that people have forgot about that. It's because since then, he's a bloke who's run over his own ankle with his car. And was the most fined player in a single season in the history of Atletico Madrid for lateness, stroke, turning up stinking quite strongly of alcohol.
Oh,
and
goodness.
To add extra fuel to the fire, right? Get Banega to breathe on it. No, is to point out that he went to Inter and it didn't work, and he went back to Sevilla again.
That's the thing that I wonder about this, though.
Yeah.
I think, like, say, a lot of Inter fans will go, well, he's shit, isn't he? It wasn't good for them.
Yeah, but this is the whole, as we talked about yesterday, this is the whole Stoke, West Brom, Sunderland. But like, they play for these teams and they were dreadful and blah, blah, blah.
It adds a bit of spice.
How are they into the Champions League? I don't know.
Do they underestimate him? I think that's the question, because, you know, they signed him for free, sold him a year later back to Sevilla Inter for €8 million, and they thought, we've done great here. But Sevilla are happy to pay that €8 million because he's just a player who clicks at that club. He's been so much better for Sevilla than he has for any other club. If he gets the opportunity to dictate that game, Sevilla are going to win it.
And what should other people look out for?
Ocampos, who is very, very exciting. The Sevilla fullbacks, Reguilon, who's obviously been linked quite closely to...
On the radar, Kate, the official Premier League radar.
Lovely.
Reguilon's on it. You've probably been in front of it, a big graphic or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the skills to do that kind of...
You can't do the touchscreen.
No. Oh, no, well, you know, it can be flaky.
Yeah, okay.
User error of it often. Yeah. Actually, that the really flaky one has actually been moved for social distancing reasons.
You're like Ava Benega. You're much more comfortable in the Ramble environment than you are at other clubs.
I don't. I mean, I obviously love the Ramble, but I love all my clubs.
Oh my God, she's Robbie Keane.
Yeah,
Robbie Keane.
He said he liked Spurs best.
Yeah,
did he?
And well, when he was talking about Spurs recently.
Translation, I was there twice.
And when he doesn't have to do a speech at Liverpool, he says he prefers Liverpool. Actually, no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't even say that about Liverpool.
You know how you see former players like doing hospitality at their clubs and they have the club blazer?
Yeah.
What must...
This is a Velcro. It's just Velcro badges that he takes on and sticks on again.
You see, I was thinking...
Or like wardrobe, patchwork.
I was thinking his wardrobe looks like Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Like a massive like row of blazers.
Yeah. Or like the I think it's a Velcro badge. I think he's got a Velcro wall in his bedroom, and all the badges are on it, all the crests. And he just takes the one off he needs and sticks it on.
I was going to go back to something serious, but no, okay.
You can if you want.
Oh. Yeah. This is more like kind of clothing led, isn't it?
Oh, we'll do that a bit in a bit. Yeah,
I don't want to use up all our clothes based material too early. And you mentioned about how the starting 11 against United, you know, only two of them were there at the start of last season.
Yes,
that was really to do with Monchi, wasn't it? The sporting director building this up, and he also, it seems like, I know you talked about this. We talked about this a little bit
on the mailbag.
Yeah, which obviously, if you're a patron, if you join our Patreon, you can listen to.
Yeah, Patreon.
How do they do that? Yep.
Oh, sorry, Kate. We were such on a level there, and I was just going to go straight in there. You didn't even need to cue
me. I didn't even need to cue you. It's okay. This is absolutely amazing.
Patreon.com.
So slick. I love how slick we've made it.
And then falling over each other by talking about how slick we are. Patreon.com/footballrambledaily for as little as $5 a month. Loads of extra content. An opportunity as well to do the topic suggestion, which we'll come on to in a minute.
We are going to come on to it.
There's loads of reasons to be a patron of this amazing show.
That's true. But sorry, I was going to go on to say is that Pepe Castro, the chairman, said that Monchi proposed Julian Lopetegui as the boss.
Yes.
And what he said about him was that he fits our idiosyncrasies perfectly.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Does that mean crying?
Before the start of the season, I think there are so many people who would have said that Lopetegui is a questionable at best choice. This is a guy who'd not proved himself in club football to any extent at all. Porto is still paying back the money that he spent there. I guess that's the difference, isn't it? That he doesn't have this sort of power at Sevilla. Monchi does the players and then says, okay, you get on with it. And that's what he's done spectacularly well. So almost from a Lopetegui perspective, it's closer to an international job. And he did do a brilliant job with Spain before it all very suddenly went
to shit.
What
he seemed to not be able to do was manage his own career progression or have any kind of tact. I know it's a really difficult circumstance and it's a dream job. You've got to go to Real Madrid. But the way that was all handled, like, it just seemed to be quite inept. And someone who's a little bit green about dealing with
people
like
that. About the politics.
Yeah. Maybe. It's funny you should say that, because really, in Spain afterwards, in the immediate aftermath of him getting fired by Luis Rubiales, the president of the FA, and going to Real Madrid, it was Real Madrid who got it in the neck, not him. I think is quite interesting, because of course there are so many, especially Madrid-based newspapers, that would defend Real Madrid to the hilt. In fact, there was only one of them left doing it. I bet you can't guess which one.
Yeah.
That was left doing it in the end. And the rest of them were like, you're out of order. You've basically nuked our World Cup hopes, which turned out
from that perspective. Yeah, not backing Lopetegui particularly.
I think to take it back to Inter, I think Inter get the job done tonight.
And why's that?
Gnarly, tough, experienced, I feel like. I feel like you look through the first 11, they'll probably play. And even the players who aren't that old are still hard and tough and have a good amount of experience.
Could I also suggest that we want Inter to win?
Well, because of the Betway, Bet Your Way.
Yes, that too mainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from the perspective of possibly, you know, we've talked a lot about how Conte goes to clubs and sort of pisses off the board or whatever, you know, throws these strops about, like, he gets all these amazing players and then it's like, but I also don't have Cristiano Ronaldo or whatever. He's just, you know, he just can never be satisfied,
which is a good thing.
But so I wonder if we want to see this title race in Serie A next season, don't we? So what we don't want to do is
him to bounce out the door.
correct. To be kind of gradually edged out.
That's a fair point, actually, because it is still tense at Inter. There's no doubt about that. And
whereas if he wins it, you can't.
Don't talk to Kate about tense. She's done enough camping last week. She can't do that again. I saw her eyebrows just went through a roof when you said the word tense.
Yes, I am the great outdoors Kate Mason. I have been, you know, whittling fashioning fires and fire pits.
For people listening, just to let you know, I have never been more surprised than when I heard from Kate that she had been camping. I cannot give you a more dictionary definition of a person who would not want to go camping. So the fact that you even went is amazing.
Thank you.
But the way your eyebrows disappeared halfway up your head when Andy just said the word tense means that I think you might not do it again.
To be clear, some nights were spent in a hotel.
Fucking Bear Grylls! It's Bear Grylls! Outrageous!
But by the way, this is a really massive...
If you put a tent up in a hotel room, it's not camping.
No.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't seem sensible.
Even if you put YouTube on the telly with that fire that flickers for 8 hours,
yeah.
I think that's reasonable.
I quite liked it. We were saying earlier as well is that this was in Wales, guys. You know, this is sort of zeitgeisty, isn't it? We go to places in...
Staycation.
Is it pronounced like that? I always thought it might be... Oh, I don't know.
How else could it be pronounced?
Oh, dear.
Roaster?
Yeah. Don't get started on that.
Yeah, it was on the roster of places I wanted to visit. And it's beautiful. I mean, but it said it was going to rain absolutely the entire weekend. And I think we got rained on for 2 hours.
For what it's worth, if I was going to go camping with either of these Europa League finalists,
nice.
I would prefer to go camping with Sevilla than Inter.
Mm. Oh, as in the full team?
Yeah.
Well, keep Ava Benega away from the internet. Good plan.
Exactly.
And the car.
I think they would be better prepared. They've got so many different options, which is what I think we'll see them through tonight. I still think Inter are a little bit one-dimensional. Mm. And Conte, I think, would not react well in a camping situation. He'd go, well...
Oh, my God, of course he wouldn't.
Where's my walk-in wardrobe? Where's my bidet? All that sort of stuff. Whereas I think Ever Banega could certainly kindle a fire. So could Lucas Campos. Monchi would definitely turn up with a Swiss Army knife.
Look, I think Conte, if he were to learn the, you know, the beauty of a night under canvas, listening to the rustling of the trees, then I think he would love
Look,
it.
It's more versus Brassel. I'm going into, he's going Sevilla. We'll see who wins.
All right then.
We'll see.
Classic.
Yeah.
Now speaking of bouts, of which there seem to be many today, we're going to stick in Cologne here, but also. Bring you a bit of Turkish transfer news. We like to be diverse on the Football Ramble. We like to keep across real grudge matches. And we like the fact that Nuri Sahin has just signed for Antalyaspor. So he was at Werder Bremen. His contract expired. Does this sound niche? Why is it not niche?
Well, because every production meeting you ever have with Andy Brassel, he tries to force through a Turkish story. And he's been able to do that on this occasion.
But this is not, strictly speaking, a Turkish story. This is a story of two men who just want to fight. They just want to fight on the football pitch and they just want to stand up for their country.
This is Sahin versus Podolski,
it
right?
is. That yeah. is what it is.
And yeah. it is a story, certainly in Germany, that they've ended up as teammates. I mean, unfortunately, I suppose... From one perspective, Podolski has brought this upon himself because he's done such a tremendous job for the Antalya tourist board. What he's been talking about is a wonderful place to live.
Is that part of his remit, or is this over and above? He's just over-delivering there.
Well, no, he's back in Cologne at the moment, isn't he, for the Europa League finals, and promoting Cologne, as he always does wherever he goes, and promoting his chain of kebab shops, which if you read anything about the Europa League, you cannot have failed to read Podolski talking about his chain of kebab shops in this last little while. But why this is a story is because there was the most spectacular fallout that is still part of German football folklore, really, between Sahin and Podolski, going back years now to when Podolski was, I guess, in his second spell at Cologne. It was the first year that Dortmund won the championship under Jurgen Klopp.
2010.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was in the autumn of that season.
Okay.
And so this young Dortmund side, you know, not yet realistic title contenders, but it was a game that they ended up winning, and it was really vital in terms of their building up their title challenge.
Was it old teeth Jürgen Klopp or new teeth Jürgen Klopp?
Yeah, that's important.
Old.
Old teeth.
Okay, so it's that era. Right.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, it's long enough ago. Old teeth, old glasses.
Right.
And how much hair would Antonio Conte have had?
Oh, well, could be any amount, bigger or smaller. Because, I mean, that man's hair during his playing career was completely different to what it is now. In the reverse that you'd expect.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with
it. No, he is like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets Snake's hair by transplant, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
it's like that. Yeah.
And it changes his life.
But
makes him evil.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's what's happened to Conte. Ooh.
He's always been evil, Conte. Let's be absolutely clear about that.
Let's be clear on that.
Let's get him in there, lads.
Are Podolski and Shaheen realistically going to fight each other physically at the same club in a die-every-boy situation? And if that does happen, could they get rid of Shaheen and bring in Gundogan and no one know?
I think there will...
Because they look identical to each other.
Do they?
No.
They really don't.
Come on.
Yeah, that's Nuri Sahin.
What
are you showing me a picture of Nuri Sahin?
It looks like Gundogan.
It doesn't.
All right, we'll put that out to the Twitter as well. I'll mute everyone, so I won't know. But you guys can see once and for all.
Anyway, the reason this beef happened in this Friday night game between Köln and Dortmund, it was just after Germany had played Turkey. And there's this little building beef, especially after Cologne equalised.
Building beef, Kate.
Nice.
In this game. And
not one for the vegetarians.
It's a good album, that. Yeah. Building beef.
And
that, sorry.
Podolski, very much like me playing Luke's game,
yeah,
makes good use of the finger counting right in front of Shaheen's face with a 3-0, which Germany had just beaten.
The old Theo Walcott.
Jose Mourinho.
It started a bit of that. And then Shaheen scores a deflected winner in stoppage time. Obviously, Klopp on the pitch celebrating it, etc., etc. Some things never change. And Shaheen, you know, one of those ones where someone's a player's obviously got a celebration in mind. His teammates, especially celebrating a stoppage time goal, are trying to embrace
him and jump on him.
He's
like,
no, get off me.
Get off me, yeah.
For him, it's quite a struggle because he's quite a slender gentleman. He always has been. He manages to break free. It's a very wet night in Cologne. Podolski, obviously, being a centre forward as he was playing for Cologne, is on the halfway line. So Shaheen, in this pouring rain and on this very wet pitch, takes a long run up and does a massive, like 20-meter knee skid past Podolski to end up in his face with his arms stretched.
Is it well executed?
Very, very well executed. One of the most stylish things that Nuri Shaheen has ever done. And if you've seen him on or off the pitch at his best, you'll know he's a very stylish gentleman.
Yeah. And that, is what I'll be doing when I win Luke's game. In
not
just over
carpet.
20 minutes.
the question is,
I guess in this situation, Luke would be the Roman Weidenfeller, because Roman Weidenfeller was the low-key star of this.
I'm not happy about that.
No,
to be honest.
Would you rather be Roman
Burkey? Not the most unglamorous goalkeeper.
Would you rather be Roman Burkey?
Less mistakes than Burkey. So I probably would, actually, yeah.
Except grammatically, obviously.
Yeah, I'd rather be Weidenfeller, actually.
So Weidenfeller,
who's always... Weidenfeller's like Bruce Forsyth. He's always been about 40. He's never been young, Weidenfeller.
I would love to think that in the old days when Klopp was winning at Dortmund, like he finished his team talk and he goes, Roman. And Roman Weidenfeller just stands up and goes, boys, just remember, tonight could still be Unite if you play your cards right.
Yeah. I think Weidenfeller looks a bit like Jurgen Klopp's younger brother who's in the army. Doesn't he?
Anyway, the reason Weidenfeller is the low-key star of this, and again, people still talk about this in Germany, because he thinks it's really, really going to pop off. Shaheen is already on a booking. So he basically runs all the way from his goal in front of Shaheen, which, considering Shaheen has skidded such a long way in a short time, is very impressive. He gets in Podolski's face and properly Martin Keown versus Ruud van Nistelrooy's him.
Yeah.
And it is the best bit of tactical play you'll ever see.
We'll share it on Twitter. People have got to watch it. There's surely a video of that.
It's a wonderful bit.
Yeah, we got it.
Well, you asked what people should be looking out for in this country in the Europa League final, and we now know what to look out for.
In Turkey.
In the Turkish league.
A wonderful beef. Beef exports through the roof.
Oh, amazing. Season. Well, beef exports will be through the roof after the break, which is happening now. We're going to be revealing your brand new topic, and we'll be building up to the Champions League final. Yes, we will. Don't go away.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway. Andy and Luke here with me, ready and waiting to claim a massive scalp. Now we're going to the topics because we got a brand new one of these.
We concentrate on the topics. We're pretty good to many topics today.
Normally, I find it really hard to hold it together at this point because of Daniel Parker, but on this occasion,
and
it's peaked, you.
And Pete.
I can't believe he's just laughing in my face at the idea that I might be able to lay a glove upon him.
Yeah. I think you might lay a glove. I just don't think you're going to win.
Okay, Luke.
But anyway.
Now, we explained earlier in the week about the only reason, really, that RB Leipzig, sadly, lost in the semi-final of the Champions
League.
Sadly. Sadly, question mark. Was because of Julian Nagelsmann's ropey suit. Would we call it ropey? It was just sort of, it was shiny. It had a lot on. Anyway, I know it's been covered.
Yeah.
I don't think his missus chose it for him, by the way, Luke. Yeah. But anyway, I imagine she has better taste than that.
I would never say the word missus because that's a bit disrespectful.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Also, I think the likelihood is he's just been like using ASOS in his room.
Yeah.
It's like while
you
he's
think
cooped
it was a- you think it was a- oh, I thought it was pronounced ASOS, but anyway, side point.
While he's like cooped up in his hotel room in Lisbon.
I
just think there's too much internet shopping going on
there. Yeah, probably. And on the ASOS thing, Kate, one thing you have to remember about Andy, and it's bubbled up a couple of times in the last few weeks, is that he pronounces so many other languages so well that he's forgotten how to pronounce English properly.
Yeah, bless him.
So you get roaster and rant. And ASOS. Is there any merit in that, Andy, do you think?
Shut your face, Moa.
Yeah, Moa.
I didn't even know what you're trying to say.
Listen,
anyway,
get to the fucking topic. For goodness sake, come on. You're supposed to be holding this together, Mason.
Oh, God, it's quite difficult with summer.
She goes camping once.
Yeah.
I think she's cracked it.
Bear Grylls. Now, that got... Right. The Patreon subscribers have been talking about clothes. We've been talking about clothes all week. So the question on this week's topics, which was put forward by Liam O'Connor on our Discord, but people have also been emailing in. So thank you very much for those. Keep doing it. We've got plenty more to do. The question is going to be this week, though, if you could choose to dress a manager as you wish, who would you pick and what are they wearing?
Yeah, so we'll cover that every day next week as part of the topics on Football Ramble. If you could choose a dress up manager, who would you choose and what are they wearing? Email us show@footballrambledaily.com or tweet us using the hashtag #RambleTopics. I would make every manager
in an international tournament dress in the traditional national dress of that country.
Hmm.
So we're talking about Lederhosen for Yogi Love.
Can you imagine how much?
Morris outfit for Gareth Southgate.
If he's wearing Lederhosen at a summer tournament, can you imagine how much he'd be scratching his balls?
True.
Oh, nightmare.
And I'd also have his... Who's the... Now Hansi Flick's no longer his assistant. Who's his assistant? Because I'd have them in a dirndl.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Big time.
Interesting that that's the... Anyway. Yeah. But of course, in PSG's case, it's Thomas Tuchel's case, you'd be in a Qatari thobe. So that's my link. We're going to the Champions League final, people.
I don't even understand what you just said.
So if you think about... What you will have, so the Emir of Qatar is flying in for this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
And that, think about what, when you see him, what he's wearing, is it? It's a thobe.
It's called a thobe. I didn't know that's what
so
it's
that,
called.
Yeah, so the sort of no, white.
No, no, no. Oh, that's a dig at Tuchel, that.
The white, I don't know what we call it. It's a sort of long shirt, effectively.
Like a caftan or something.
You can have a different kind of collar depending on where in that region you're from,
right,
generally
okay.
speaking.
Okay.
And then I can't remember the term for the headscarf, but
right, okay.
again, that's your standard.
Imagine, can I just say, if Tuchel came out for the Champions League final wearing that, would that be quite the statement?
It's not that, it wouldn't be that surprising, to be honest.
It would be quite the FU to the haters. Let's make that absolutely clear.
What would you have had Nagelsmann wearing in the final if he
okay.
made it?
He was wearing, as I said earlier in the week, he was wearing something that said to me, I know I'm not going to be able to wear this for the final, so I'm wearing it now.
No, because I don't agree with that. I think for the final, he would have gone for something a little more confident. I'm thinking...
What than that?
I'm thinking a Simon... big, fluffy Red Bull can, and he would have driven on to the side of the pitch. In, you know, one of those... You know, they have those, like, hot Red Bull girls, and they drive along in the hot... Well, in their, they're like minis and stuff, aren't they? The Red Bull cars with the
yes.
Red Bull can poking out the top. That is what he would have done.
You think?
Yes. And if not, why not?
Marketing and sponsorship reasons. Pre-signed clauses at the start
Russian
of the Champions
Ball
League
Club
campaign.
Has nothing to do with this.
I mean, I'm thinking he would have gone for something like Simon Le Bon in the Rio video, you know, where he's like propped on the front of the yacht, something like that. Mm. Or if he'd gone full Miami Vice, which is really what I think he should
shout.
Be wearing anyway.
I feel like Liverpool did that on stage anyway, didn't they, in the 90s?
Oh, you're talking about the 96 Cup final.
Mm. Yeah. Are they white, those suits?
Yeah.
They're kind of off-white.
A cream.
Kind of suit.
They were awful.
Alex Ferguson really said in his autobiography, as soon as he saw them, he was like, yeah, that's all right. We're going to be fine. We're going to be absolutely fine.
Wow. So this is how important this topics question is.
Exactly.
You could change the entire course of the history of football if you just get
it right. I'll tell you who's... Our friend Ryan Hunt did something about this. He wrote an article about this yesterday.
Talking for the
about,
ringer, yeah.
Yeah, so I said that I think it does probably have some kind of impact, even if it's subconscious or maybe just psychological. I think it does set a tone for the team. And I got a load of people calling me a dickhead for saying that. And then Ryan Hunt writes an article, admittedly, much more articulate than the way I said it. And everyone's loving it. Everyone's loving it. So anyway, Ryan wrote a brilliant article about it saying that, you know, it does actually mean something and here's
why.
You
are you saying Ryan has mansplained your opinion?
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah, right. He's just much more talented than me.
okay, fair
simple
enough.
As that, really.
I have to say that underrated guy for this sartorial setting the tone, Rudy Garcia, when Lille won the double, because in the home
straight...
I think
he looked a bit dishevelled against Bayern Munich, though.
Sure, he looked like, you know that bit where Michael Madsen has got that policeman captive in Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah.
He looks like he's been in a warehouse. Yeah. Like he probably looked really smart when they had the meeting around the table where Steve Buscemi doesn't give the tip.
Yeah.
But like he's been in there sweating for a number of hours. But when he was in the home straight of that double season at Lille, he would wear a Lille club blazer with a roll neck, kind of like a Bond villain. And the key members of the team, like Rio Mavuba, Eden Hazard...
This is when Joe Cole started dressing like him. Joe Cole did as well.
Yeah, it became the thing. When Cole arrived the following season, that was his thing as well.
The dress code.
We do have to get on to PSG versus Bayern Munich. The small matter of that one.
Yes.
Now, look, we have talked about, obviously, these clubs a lot because these things are coming in the... in football parlance, thick and fast this week. So, of course, we have spoken about the semi-finals affair. A bit. One of the guys I used to work with out in Doha tweeted that it was a seminal moment as two teams with club shops in Hamad International Airport, the international airport of Doha, are in the final of the Champions League for the first time ever. Now it's
the romance,
tongue in cheek, but yeah,
I think there's an interesting definition to make though, and a clear definition to make before we go too far down that road, in the Paris Saint-Germain, owned by QSI. Bayern are sponsored by Qatar Airways.
Yeah, it's their flight partner.
Yeah, and it's
so, for example, if you fly Qatar Airways, the safety... I quite like how aeroplanes now try and do good safety videos. The, like, British Airways has a whole load of, you know, British
British
icons.
Airways is hosted by Chibadi G from People Just Do Nothing.
Yeah, but there's loads of people, you know...
Yes, Ian McKellen's in it. And
Olivia Colman.
Yeah,
Tandy Newton.
Yeah.
So in their one, I don't know if it is still now, but when I was flying out there, it had the Bayern Munich players...
You were indicating at the beginning is they had certain privileges. So, like, if Thomas Müller was on there, he could ask for like a second pudding
or someone to love his joke.
Yeah.
Do a pun.
Steady.
Do a pun. I don't think there's any executive service that offers that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because when they originally took on the Qatari sponsorship, and it's the sleeve sponsor as well, they kind of look a bit more like racing drivers these days, some football teams, don't they? The Bayern Ultras really kicked off about that.
Yeah, they did.
And if you go to the annual general meeting before last, which happens just before Christmas at Bayern, Uli Hoeneß, in one of the last times he was chairing it, of course, as the president, he got a lot of very vocal shit from the members about that. And it's something that the Bayern Ultras have not let drop. So when people have an idea of these clubs and their images and what they're projecting, I think sometimes you've got to draw a line in the sand and you've got to separate the direction of the club and the supporters. And I think that counts.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I thought you were going to say a line in the sand between, you know, particular clubs and how they behave, but I think it's a continuum. Really,
you can't really do that.
It's not really a line. It's a spectrum.
Sure, yeah. But I think if you look at Paris Saint-Germain as well, the fact that in the last year and a half, they've invited the ultras back to provide more of an atmosphere, to make it more real. And for better or for worse, one of the key parts of their Champions League run is after they beat Dortmund, and obviously behind closed doors, and there are all the ultras outside. I mean, obviously we look at that in a very different way now, and some of us looked at it in a very different way at the time because of social distancing.
Because you could hear it in the stadium, couldn't you? They were you know, letting off flares, and you could hear the noise from outside.
And you had some of those players going out and celebrating with them, didn't you? Like Levan Cazaro was in the thick of it, etc., etc. And that's what we'll be doing for this final. It'll be pretty much a posh David May while they're going into this game. I know a lot has been made of the space behind Bayern and how Neymar and especially Mbappe might be making the most of that. I think that Bayern and Hansi Flick work some stuff out in match in the semi-final. I think it's interesting after Leon go over the top of them a few times, and they realise, actually, we can't get away with this because Lyon have got more pace than Barcelona. And eventually, maybe Toko Ekambi will take one of those chances. They after they went 1-0 up through the Gnabry goal, which kind of not the stuffing out of Lyon, they started to drop as well. They started defending a lot deeper. And if Hansi Flick is anything, he's adaptable. Look at how he's changed some of those players, how he's made he's made Alphonso Davies his permanent left back and turned him into one of the best left backs in the world.
Moved Alaba as well.
Yeah, how he's exactly. He's made Alaba something special. I think the relationship, I've written something for The Guardian about that, the relationship between them, Alaba being next to Alphonso Davies has really helped him. He's been able to talk him through games. And, you know, one of the things before we had the effects on the games when football came back, and certainly on the Bundesliga games, you know, they were done completely dry with no crowd sound for the first couple of match days, weren't they? You find out who the shouters are, and David Alaba never stops talking. And Alphonso Davies...
Nor does Müller, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, people pretend he's not talking.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, he never shuts up, Thomas Müller. Never.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, even putting Kimmich in midfield, Hansi Flick has not just made Bayern more front foot, more aggressive, play the best football since Guardiola. It's not just people have thought of, I think, from a distance, what he's done at Bayern as being a re-galvanizing of traditional Bayern values. It's so much more than that. He's a very, very, very smart coach. And that's why they've signed him to a longer deal, not just to contain some sort of feel-good factor.
Mm. All right. So it sounds like it's clear who you're backing on Sunday.
Possibly.
I would back Bayern as well, chiefly because exactly what Andy said there about how they can be completely adaptable. You'd have to have a heart of stone to not be worried about the level of the line they've played in some of the games they've played to get to this final and yeah. how that could be punished by players like not just Mbappe and Neymar, but by Di Maria as well. But I know this is kind of a bit of an old-fashioned opinion, and Andy, I'm very happy for you to kind of disavow me of it. But I just don't know if Bayern Munich start very quickly, get on the front foot and kind of start to call the shots, if you like, dominate the game. I don't know whether players like Neymar and Mbappe will work hard enough to get to drag PSG through it and get them back in the game. I don't know how you feel about that. I feel like against a Leipzig who have got stage fright and have completely disregarded their own natural game and have gone to shit, of course these players can do the business. With the pedigree they have of playing against teams a lot where they're not up to much in their own division, their own league, when they get faced with a really difficult side, is everyone going to be on it enough for long enough for them to really hurt a team of this quality? Because Bayern are, the form Bayern are in are absolutely ridiculous. They're so good.
I mean, it's monstrous. Just to re-underline that, 28 wins and a draw in the last 29 games. I mean, that is just...
So can PSG incredible. Deal with that?
But significantly also, before you answer that, yeah. and in context, Barca and Lyon both had about 5 chances in their games.
Yes.
But they pretty much all came before Bayern started scoring. Okay, I know you would argue not very difficult in there. But, you know, the point being that if they could have converted some of those chances, that also could have swayed the pendulum a little bit, because it's Bayern... They start out and they become they're dominant and they play from the front.
It's funny you say that, because I just think even if Barcelona take the lead in that game or Lyon take the lead in their semi-final, I still think Bayern end up winning by a long way. I think there's every reason to suppose if Memphis or Toko Ekambi had put away one of those chances, Bayern react with greater prejudice, almost, and get after them. They're also absolutely monster.
They're also absolutely brutal, Bayern Munich. I mean, you look at players like Goretzka and Schüller, just tanks, and then they have that combination of real physicality in Schüller, Goretzka, Lewandowski, Davis, but they also have a lot of subtlety as well. You know, Gnabry takes up really interesting positions. Müller is one of the positionally best players at the top level in Europe.
Like, the space interpreter.
Yeah, exactly. The Raumdeuter. Thiago Alcantara is technically so good. So they've got all these different things.
You haven't
going
even
on.
Mentioned Lewandowski in that, yeah.
Yeah, he can obviously lead
don't
to
even
line
need it
in a ridiculous way, yeah.
The thing is, I think if everyone's as fit as they can be, Thiago doesn't play, because they play Kimmich in midfield instead and Pavard, a right back. The question is Pavard fit enough? Because the thing is as well, because he's really a centre-half playing a right back, he gives them that extra little bit of cover if they get caught over the top as well.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, you look at, what's the big thing to look out for then? What's the one thing people should look out for?
The thing that you were saying about Neymar and Mbappe, I don't really think that's fair. I think the thing that we've seen...
Nah, fuck them.
They don't work hard.
I don't think they work hard consistently enough without the ball. And I think they get away with a bit under Tuchel at PSG.
Maybe. I'm not sure that's been the case in this Champions League so far. And I think the thing is with Neymar, he sometimes has this overdeveloped sense of responsibility. He almost works too hard. And I think the bit where their Champions League changes, I mean, it may sound obvious that it's when Mbappe comes on against Atalanta. And, well, it's when Papu goes
I think Neymar's been good.
Well.
I think his contributions have been amazing, yeah.
But what really makes a difference when Mbappe comes on is what it does to Neymar, because he's played very, very well up to that point, but he's also had 10 minutes where he's really, really close to losing his shit, where he starts to give the ball away a bit, where he starts to leave feet in on people. And if that goes on for another 5-10 minutes, does Neymar get annoyed, hit someone and get sent off? I think it's very possible.
Right, okay.
And then all of a sudden, when Mbappe's on, not only is he more of a grown-up, but it takes a lot of the pressure off Neymar and he feels that he can contribute, because there's never any question, and I think people get this wrong sometimes, there's never any question that Neymar worked extremely hard. And well, he's going to need to in this, isn't he?
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a sort of a ramble team metaphor, actually, I think, potentially.
Okay, it's now time for Betway's Bet Builder feature. Just before Luke's game, let's get another Bet Your Way feature with Betway in there. For Sunday's Champions League final, we've built a bet with Betway. We've gone for Bayern to win, both teams to score, and Robert Lewandowski to score any time in our hashtag Bet Your Way Bet Builder bet. So all those things need to happen for us to win. A £10 bet at 5-2 returns £35. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. Enjoy the final, because I think we all will, won't we, Kate?
I've gone home.
You're off, are you ready? See you later. You're on your way. Well, it'd be great to go, but sadly that's not going to be possible, is it?
No, it is sad.
All right. Kate, are you ready? Do you feel like you're mentally ready for this?
Okay. Well, what I'd like to say is I got some fallout from not perhaps taking your game as seriously as it deserves, perhaps.
Not from me.
No, there was some. Some people liked it and said that they felt, you know, like that was them. So what I'm going to do, I've thought about it a lot. I've done some soul searching. I've come to terms with what that means for me as a competitor and as a woman.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is I've done a bit of meditation. I'm going to try and get my head in the game. I see Brassel is a massive titan of this.
Yeah, he is.
And you know, I'm just the underdog, but I'm going to do my best for the integrity of the game. However, I still stand by what I said before.
Okay, well, I think one thing that might sort of further burnish your confidence is that the people voting on the Twitter poll about whether it's going to be a bloodbath or an upset has gone down from 86% bloodbath to just over 85% bloodbath.
Oh, lovely. So thanks for your support, guys.
You're building some momentum.
I will not forget you who sold me out. I will not forget
you. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. It's time for this. It's one of those games that's quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yeah, described in typical slick broadcasting fashion by me. It is time for Luke's game.
Fish gave me some tips, by the way.
Oh, did he? Great.
That's why I got my notepad. He says, try and write them down. Don't count them on your fingers.
Fine for you to prepare as best you see fit. Nothing wrong with taking a bit of advice.
You're all ganging up on me.
You deserve it.
Mate, I've never got a point.
You've never got a single point in this game, Andy.
Okay, so I've only played once, but
You trailed, like, the maybe evolution of Luke's game. Mm. Like, how many Wu-Tang albums can you name? Yeah. I'd feel a lot more comfortable with that.
We're not doing Wu-Tang albums, because that's even... If you can imagine anything being that possible, that's actually even less fair on Kate, who knows who Wu-Tang Clan are. So she's no way she can name an album of the Wu-Tang
Let's just get on with the football players.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I give you, the way it works, for people who haven't heard it before, I give these guys a player, they auction, they bid against each other about how many clubs that player's played for they can name. Kate's got a notepad out. Andy's going to try and game her out. And regular listeners will realise that when it comes to this game, Andy is a real one. He is the realist.
I'm gonna try and game her out. She's writing messages on her notepad and showing them to me.
Right. All tactics like that are to be applauded. What I would say is, Kate, the one thing you do need for this game, and we're going to come to you first with the first player because you're the challenger, you need fire in your belly and your head in the freezer. Here we go. She's just written, "You're going down," on a piece of paper and showed it to Andy. And what I would say is the least intimidating thing I've ever seen. So fire in the belly, head in the freezer. Kate, you're up first. You need to start listening or you're going to... Look, you can write all the notes you want, but if you're not listening, you're not going to get it. First player, Kate, he's played for 5 clubs in total. He retired in 2018. It's Benoit Assou Ekotto.
Oh, I see what you...
Benoit Assou Ekotto.
Hang on a sec. It's a whole load of...
And as regular listeners also know, a quick game is a good game.
Apologies, yeah. I mean, it's hard. How do you say stuff without being... I guess Brassel doesn't... I can say anything I like and he already knows them all, so...
just bid. First opening bid. Think about your tactics. Get your opening bid in and we're away.
I think I know where he joined, you know, from. So, three.
Okay. Andy?
Name your three.
What?
Oh! You meanie.
An early twist. An early twist. Okay, Kate, you've got to name three clubs, one at a time, that Benoit Assou Ekotto played for.
I should have gone two. Would you call me on two?
Well, you'll never know, will
Doesn't
you?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
So, because there's a lot of French in here, right?
You will find that with the French ones.
So, obviously, Spurs.
Correct. Oh, well, hang on. I've got to do your ding. I forgot about that. Hang on. Oh. Bloody hell. I forgot about my my correct sound. There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh, that does actually make me feel quite good.
It's a confidence boost, isn't it?
Yeah. Well. Okay. And then the other English club. Oh, God. I know this.
My fingers hovering over the
button. It's QPR.
Correct.
Stop it. Okay, now this is the one that it's not even a club I know, but the club that he came from is called, it's like the thing that goes in your eye. Lens?
Kate Mason!
Yes! Come on.
Correct. That's 1 point. You're off the mark. Oh my goodness me.
I've fallen off a chair.
There's 86%.
That 15% of smashing it.
Yeah, I know. That 86% of fuming.
Did you know? Could you remember Lens? Yeah, probably.
Well, you've mispronounced it, but
sorry.
We're going to give it to you.
Yeah. It's Lens, Lens, Spurs, QPR, St Etienne, and he finished his career at Metz. That's irrelevant. What is very relevant is that you are a point ahead, Kate Mason, and we go to Andy now for the second player, okay? He's still playing. In fact, you would have seen him play, I think, fairly regularly over on these shores, perhaps. He's played for six clubs in total, though, and he is Gerard Deulofeu. Gerard Deulofeu.
Right.
I don't know. You're allowed to have ones. Oh, yeah, of course you are. That you still...
Have whatever you want, really.
Oh, right. Interesting.
It doesn't matter. It's a random selection of players, so it doesn't really matter.
Brassel, I think you should be able to get all of
I'll
those.
I'll start with a gentle three.
Three.
Oh, bollocks, I forgot the right thing.
Kate, what you're doing is doing a really good impression of someone who's taking this seriously.
I'm really taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Well, what am I going to do? I can't...
If you can't do four, then you have to get Andy to name three.
I can do four. I can do... Sorry.
Kate can do four. Do you want five?
No.
D4. Oh, here we go again. D4. What sort of tactic is this, Brassel?
D4.
This God, is weak.
Here we go.
Brassel's weak. I can do four because... No, wait, hang on. Well, anyway, Watford.
Correct. One.
Barcelona.
Correct. Two.
Everton.
Correct. Three. Need one more.
Some kind of Milan.
I need to tell me which one.
AC.
Correct. It's 2-0. I've never seen. I never expected this to happen. Listen, people who are listening along to this show, I am as surprised as you because Kate.
I'm sweating.
I'm going to choose my words very carefully here. I didn't think Kate had this in her, and I really mean that. This is unbelievable.
It's actually quite offensively.
I know. That's why I said it. What's two that? Up with three to play. So the teams were Barcelona, Everton, Sevilla, Milan. And Watford, of course, he had two spells at Barcelona and a couple at Everton. Next player...
I just say, this is breaking my heart. This is what it would have been like if Memphis and Toko Ekambi had taken their chances on Wednesday night.
Andy...
Well, because you're playing a very... No, I guess, is this aggressive to make me name them all the time?
I think so.
I'm pushing towards the halfway line.
But I understand that because obviously I didn't really say anything last time we did this.
No,
you didn't.
Okay. So it makes sense.
You are essentially a pool hustler.
One thing that's worth mentioning is that Kate is now gets a chance to go first on this next player, and if she nails it, she's won.
Yeah,
she's actually won, and Brassel's actually made no contribution to this game really to speak of at all this week. So the third player, your first, Kate. He's only played for four clubs. He's still playing now. It's Ross Barkley. Don't look at me like that. Four clubs, Ross Barkley.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at you.
Yeah.
That's how I always look at you.
Come on.
All right.
Just get a pen and paper out as well.
Okay. Two.
Andy?
I'm not sure I know more than two. I'm not sure I know more than two.
You can't. Are you joking?
I'm not sure I know more than two. I'm going to have to say three.
You're going to have to guess. Because otherwise, it's over.
Yeah, there's nothing else I can do.
All right, can you do four?
No, I can't do four.
Okay, Andy, so you need to name three clubs Ross Barkley's played for. This is the closest anyone's come to beating... I mean, Speller came very close. Speller came very close.
Yes.
But I know what Andy's body language is like playing this game because I've been present every time he's played it.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think he's struggling here. So...
Yes!
Three clubs that Ross Barkley's played for. We all know you can name two, so get those out of the way.
Chelsea. Everton.
Correct.
And?
One more you need.
Is he toying with me? He's doing a fake face. He's toying with me.
Fake face.
This is a complete stab in the dark.
Oh, my God.
It's got to be a loan spell at some sort of northwest club.
I might win.
I'm going to say Preston.
Kate Mason wins!
Wow!
I'm shaking!
There you go. You didn't expect it to happen. The title has changed hands officially for the first time this season. Ross Barkley's loan spells, your working out was sound, but the two loan spells he spent were on Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United.
Really?
So Preston was incorrect. Kate wins 3-0 with two to play. I mean, look, to my mind, on such an historic occasion, there's no point doing the other players. I can also save them for next time.
Brassel's holding up a white flag as well,
3-0.
By the way.
Brassel's got no appetite.
It's like the NBA finals.
Once it's over, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unprecedented event. 3-0. Kate cannot be caught. What I would say as well is, to sum up finally, to those 14.8% who believed in Kate Mason.
Thank you.
Presumably this victory's for them, Kate.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to all my supporters and no one is more surprised than me.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that kid who beat Serena Williams.
I'm going to go and think about what went wrong and form a support group with Manchester City after what happened to them in the Champions League.
And Pete.
I just and Jules. Anyway, 3-0, guys.
Yeah, amazing.
You know, incredible. We decided yesterday, 3-0. What's that?
Go on, tell me. I can't remember.
It's a pumping.
A pumping. An official pumping. Your tactics were poor there, Brassel.
Well, it's because he didn't believe I knew anything.
He's been complacent, in my opinion.
Do you know what's happened there?
Yeah.
I have gamed him.
I know. Yeah. Kate, you are, and I think people will find this very endearing. You are carrying yourself with the air of someone who's never won anything in their life ever before.
Some would say the people's champion, but no one wants to see the dancing, Mace. Come on. No one wants
no
to see.
No excuse for the chair dancing. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wait, I forgot I had to end the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, guys. I don't know what to say. Mm. It's the end. It's been beautiful. Oh, last thing. Quick shout out to a listener. It's a happy birthday to Callum Joynes. He is turning 30 tomorrow. Great age. I'm sure you guys can't remember it. Probably why you're going senile, so
nope,
you can't win the game.
I can't.
Anyway, yeah. He got his brother Matt into the Football Ramble apparently about 6 years ago. So Matt got in touch with the birthday wishes. Have a great one, Callum. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, mate.
That actually, mate, that win was for you.
Yeah, many happy returns.
Guys, yeah. I'm just going out to get drunk, I think. thank you for today. I'll catch you next time, Luke.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, Andy.
Thanks.
This has been The Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. See you next time.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.